Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadha Vivasati Bhaktavinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadha Vivasati Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Bhaktivedanta Aso Tasata Sri Shima Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Bhaktivedanta Aso Tasata Sri Shima Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Namachari Sihara Dasa Kaur Ki Jaya Premisaka Hoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Go Bhaktivinoda Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Dwarka Dham Ki Yamunamaya Ganga Maya Ki Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Sisi Radha Madhava Ki Sisi Panchatattva Ki Sisi Asta Shakis Ki Jamastami Hotsava Ki Krishna Jamastami Hogi Ki Gopimandi, all glories to the devotees. All glories to the devotees. All glories to the devotees. All glories to Shishi, Guru, and glory to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So being Jamastami, this is the king of all festivals, there is nothing more important for our Gaudiya Madhva Brahma Sampradaya, and Srila Prabhupada gave more emphasis on Jamastami than the other festivals. So I think the announcement wasn't made that it starts 6:30. So from 6:30 to 7:30, then we have another speaker. In any case, in Conway Hall in London, they had a big program for Srila Prabhupada, and so there was nobody there. The place is empty. So I think it'll be empty for a while. In any case, they said they apologized to Srila Prabhupada after. As the Srila Prabhupada were sorry, nobody came. He said, what do you mean nobody came? Narada Muni was sitting right here. Now, Narada Muni shows up in different places. Believe it or not, Narada Muni, he's the space cadet, so he can be anywhere he wants to be. And so he appeared in Los Angeles, along with Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma. They all appeared together And they were all laughing. And Prabhupada asked, why do you think they were laughing? Shiva, Brahma, maybe Indra was there also. But all the demigods came. And they were watching. I was there when this happened. This is 75 in Los Angeles. And so he says, why do you think they're all laughing? He says, because they were watching the Malechas and the Yavanas dancing and chanting. And so it was a big thing. And this is, you know, and even in India when it first happened, so the devotees coming here was a big deal. It wasn't, they never saw white skin devotees chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada talked, he made jokes. Prabhupada very funny sometimes. So he made a joke, and I should tell it later because it's so funny. He says, Indians, they have some regard. In every home in India, they perform Janmashtami. The celebration is like in America, it's Christmas. So in America, they worship Christ on one day. But it's more like they worship Santa Claus because it's all about material exchanges. So he says, like in America, Christmas is just one day, and the rest of the time it's pure sense gratification. Anyway, Janmashtami is the same thing. For Indians, mostly Indians and government people in India, they come to America and they learn three words. Yes, no, and very good. Now, have you heard this story? This is so funny. So this Indian gentleman, he stopped by the police. And the police were looking for somebody who stole a car, like the car that this guy was riding in. And so he said, did you steal the car? And all he knew was yes. Yes, I stole, yes, yes. And so are you going to give it back? And he learned no. No, not giving it back. And so then he says, you're going to jail? Ah, very good, very good. And so... So, unfortunately, in India, generally speaking, Janmashtami is one day. And Gaur Purnima is another day. And so, on these big days, everybody in every home, they do some kind of puja and worship. But for us, every day goes on the same thing. And if we go back 5,000 years now to the first puja, the first janma, Janmashtami means, asti means eight. And so Janmashtami means on the eighth day of the waning moon, this is when Krishna appeared. And so his appearance was very unusual as we, how many haven't read Krishna book? Is there anybody here haven't read Krishna book? Never read it. Okay, so everybody pretty much knows the story. We've heard it after year after year after year on different occasions. In 1972, in New Vrindavan, Prabhupada had Krishna book read because the devotees were getting very tired, very hungry, no nirjala ekadasi kind of fasting, no food, no water. So as Krishna's book was being read, everybody was nodding off, falling asleep, collapsing, walking out. But Prabhupada kept it going. And so even past 12 o'clock, still the reading was going on. And so they couldn't serve out the feast because Prabhupada was still sitting there listening. And so he had his eyes closed and meditating. And so he says, finally, about 12:30, he says, okay, you can take prasad. And so the first time in New York when this happened, the initiation took place on Janmashtami. So Prabhupada said, we have to fast all day. No water, no food. Then at the end we'll have feast. Okay, so in the temple room they were stringing their red beads. They had these big, huge beads they were bought in the store. And so they're chanting one mantra, Hare Krishna, and then they'd stretch and tie one bead. So they'd make their 108 beads and then they're ready for initiation. Now nobody knew what it was. At that time, initiation was something brand new. So, and they didn't find out until after they were initiated. And Prabhupada said, now I'm going to tell you what you can't do. no meat, fish, or eggs, and then the four regular principles came. So that's when he first announced it. And so, oh my God, I mean, what have we done now? We got no fish, no meat, or eggs, no intoxication, no LSD, no marijuana, no anything. No tea and coffee, no illicit sex. I mean, remember, I was there at the time. I just missed it. I was living right near Tompkins Square Park for that whole period. Then I moved uptown and got a job in advertising as a commercial artist. I just missed it. In any case, so then they had Janmashtami, and finally, Prabhupada, they all went up to Prabhupada's room expecting a big, giant feast. And Prabhupada had a platter, a cut of fruit. He gave everybody pieces of apple and a little bit of fruit. So that was the first Janmashtami feast. And everybody was satisfied. Umapati was saying that it was such a nice, even if it was just a couple pieces of apple and fruit, it was satisfying. So then it increased, of course. So tonight at 12 o'clock or more after the program, big feast. So, and then what happens normally, I've been in Vrindavan the last 40 years. I've been doing Radhasham Sundar's altar as Pujari. And so some days, and it happens quite often, that everybody's knocked out because of staying up all night and taking a heavy feast at night, and nobody comes in the morning. So for Nandotsava, Prabhupada was born the day after. There's some question about that. But any case, and so next morning there's very few people and there's no pujaris. So on a different occasion, I had to do all three altars. I'm do the incense, Radhasham, do the incense, Krishna Balaram, do the incense, Gorni Thai. All the articles like that. So Janmashtami is a program that we can't serve Krishna enough. Most, and it's like always said that Krishna is watching what you're holding back. It's not what you've given, but what you're holding back. And so any kind of economic development that doesn't relate to Krishna is wasted time. Just wasting your energy. So unless it's given, whatever we do, we should be giving in some kind of service offered to Krishna on this special day. So we should think like that. And this comes every 4,300,000, it says here, 4,300,000 times 1,000 times 2 years. That's how often Krishna comes to this planet. Now he's going on a road show. Every second, there's a program going on Janmashtami. Right now, in a second later, there'll be somebody giving a speech, and whoever it is, he'll be giving a speech talking about Janmashtami and about Krishna's appearance. And Krishna appears every second, so that means all these different universes. He picks out different planets where, like Earth, that he gives the whole roadshow. It's not just Krishna by himself, but it's the whole roadshow, the whole entourage. I mean, all the killing of the demons, and even in the spiritual world. If you read Gopal Kumar's adventures in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the demons are there. I mean, I was surprised, but ultimately, the demons come, they're killed, and they're revitalized, and it happens all over and over. Kamsa, when he gets the word from the sky, the eighth child will kill you, King Kamsa. So immediately he wanted to kill his sister, Devaki. And so that's the kind of demons that were available at that time. And so, and that's why Krishna comes. He comes to appease the devotees and give blessings and to kill the demons. So, as we know the story, Vasudev pleaded with him, don't kill your sister, that's not going to look good for you. I mean, she's your sister, and this is the wedding day. And so I said, okay. And if we have any children, I promise you, I'll give you that child, and you can do what you want. So he did that. So eight children were born, eight sons, and that was the previous curse. Like, same thing with the Ganga and the Mahabharata. The sons were Vastus, and they were put in the Ganga and killed, drowned by curse. So Bhishma was the last one, and he stopped it, and he says, that's all, no more. So at this time, this is when the killing of the babies was going on. And Vasudev was in prison, so he, in his mind, was given charity because he had two sons. He had both Krishna Balaram. Rohini was transferred, from Devaki to Rohini. And so that's Balaram. And so they're brothers, actual brothers. And Krishna and Vasudev and Nanda are stepbrothers. So when Nanda came to pay the tax to Kamsa to stop, he wanted to make sure his son is safe. So he gave it to the cowherd boys, the leaders, protect Krishna and Balaram. And so that nothing happens to him, because the killing of the babies was going on by Kamsa's order. And so that's a heinous thing, and that happened in the Bible also. So at this period of time, it was very heavy. A lot of killing going on with all these babies, and the mothers protesting, and they're being slaughtered right in front of the mothers. So anyway, Nanda goes, pays the taxes, the yearly tax. Then when Vasudev heard about it, now we know from Krishna book that they were in a cell, imprisoned. So we don't know what kind of cell that was, because ultimately Vasudev got out and went over to Nanda Baba's residence, and they exchanged greetings, they embraced each other, because of the imprisonment, many years went by that they didn't see each other. And so he was inquiring about his children. He says, because they knew that Rohini's had the birth of Balaram, and so that was his son through Rohini. It was Devaki who had it. So in any case, he says, how's my son Balaram, and how's your son? What about, and are they okay? So he was just checking to make sure Nanda didn't understand about the transfer. So he transferred, and that girl, because Devaki could not have any girls. That was a blessing that she had. It was only going to be male child. So she had eight. Then Krishna's the eighth child. Okay, so they embraced and they exchanged, and Vasudev said, maybe you better go back after you paid the taxes. You better go back now, because there's going to be some heavy things going on. And so that first Jamashtami, Mother Yasoda gave great opulence and cows, and were decorated with golden ornaments, and hoofs were silver, but they're all laden with the beautiful, wonderful cows, able to give volumes of milk. So this became a wonderful exchange that Nanda could do. Vasudev couldn't do it, although he gave to Rohini some precious garments so that she could attend the festival. So this festival went on, the first one at Krishna's birth. And so, of course, everybody was invited, and big feast and great opulence and grains being given and the sacrifice. And they called in the Brahmins, and Brahmins did puja. It was very opulent prasadam, an opulent festival, that first one. So, and when he's 1 year old, and then some unusual things took place. So at that time, the same kind of celebration was going on. And so the same kind of thing, gifts were given and Brahmins were worshipped. And so ultimately the presentations that were given to Krishna were very opulent, so much distribution of wealth. So Nanda had 900,000 cows. And so he could give lavishly cows and charity. He did that. So, and then it happened that as soon as they started walking, we know the story from Krishna book, and as soon as they started crawling, they were walking. At first they crawled, Krishna and Balaram both, at about the same age. And so then they grab a hold, they couldn't walk yet, so they grab a hold of the calves' tails, and they were covered in saffron and sandalwood paste. But when they got covered, dragged through the mud, they got covered in, and they were covered in mud mixed with these herbs. And they were bathed with different sacred herbs in the first kind of Abhishek that was done. And so then they started walking. And as you know what happened when they started walking, they got in big trouble. they went off and they started visiting all the neighbors and stealing the butter. So Muckinshore. So in Vrindavan, everybody, there's so many dacoits and thieves in Vrindavan. How many have been to Vrindavan? Just about almost everybody. So you know Vrindavan is not as nice a place from a material standpoint. There's stool everywhere, and on festival days, I mean, I'm 40 years there, so I mean, amazing stuff happens. And so you go to the Jamuna on a festival day, it's stool from one end to the other. They go there, pass stool right on the side, and they go and take bath. So generally, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to, you know, pass before or later, or away. In any case, so Jamashtami, as it's celebrated around the world, is one of the best festivals. And today we'll have, this goes on till 7:30, and then you got another speaker. I looked up Jamashtami on the internet, and there's 770 different hits on this about Jamashtami. So I'll just take some of the top things. So if we want to understand, and why did Krishna appear? Anybody know? Why was his appearance? Go ahead. Yeah, there's I'll take the speaker there. Why did Krishna appear? Why couldn't he send his... Not working. I speak loud. Huh? Okay, I mean, you can quote so many slokas, but what's the reason? Say it in English. Okay, Janma Karmita Me Devyam Evyo Takvatatva Jana Naitimam Paso Arjuna. That's the main quote that Prabhupada gives all the way through this 700 kind of hits. So the reason is, of course, we know it's to annihilate the demons and to protect the devotees. So there's a story that goes along with this, which is very funny. Akbar, everybody knows Akbar. Anybody doesn't know Akbar, raise their hand. Okay, I think everybody maybe have heard this story. But Akbar was talking to his minister. Why does your God come personally? If he wants to kill, why he can't do it through other agents? Why he can't have other people do the work for him? Because it can be. He can kill. He didn't have to go to the battlefield. There's tsunamis. There's earthquake yesterday. Did you feel it? And so earthquakes are a common deal, and it hits some places really hard by karmic reaction. It means community karmic reaction hits. So we had a little tremor yesterday. It was just a wake up. And so Akbar says, why he comes? You can answer the question. He says, and then his what's the name of the guy? Huh? Yeah. And so he's the court jester. And so he always had funny stories, a funny way of explaining. And so he says, wait a couple days and I'll tell you. So a couple days later, he had a doll made of his son. Akbar's son was replicated in a little doll. So he had the servant lady take the doll over by the well. And so Akbar is watching it from his throne. And so the servant lady throws the doll in the well. And so you heard the story? It's really funny. And so at any rate, the doll goes in the well, and Akbar jumps up and runs over to try to save. It's just a doll. And he says, minister said, well, that's why Krishna comes. Isn't that nice? I mean, Krishna comes because he wants to personally take care of and please the devotees. And he protects us in every way possible. And when Garga Muni was given the opulent, was giving the predictions. Now, first, Garga Muni is the family guru of Vasudeva. So Vasudeva told Garga Muni to go to Nanda's place and do the name-giving ceremony. So he goes. And so, of course, they can't do it publicly, because if Kamsa finds out that Garga Muni is doing it, then he's going to be after Krishna and try to kill him. And he did anyway. He tried to send all these demons, and they couldn't do it. So Garga Muni says, your son will incarnate and hit just by his presence, that anybody who surrenders and worships your Son will be free of all calamities. There'll be nothing to fear. That anybody who surrenders and worships and does service to Lord Krishna, he has nothing to fear his whole life. And so that's what, that was the main prediction. But then he gave the names. So Krishna, he have a series of names. And he also gave the name Girdhari, predicting that he'd be lifting Girdhiraj on his finger. So Krishna's stories are like unbelievable. And after the first Jamashtami, and after the cart incident with a hand-drawn cart, you see so many here are hand-drawn carts, and so it was full of brass utensils. Mother Yasoda put the baby underneath because she got called away and forgot for the moment that Krishna wants his milk from the breast. And so he just started kicking the cart. One kick and he kicked the wheel and it shattered the whole cart. And all the utensils came crashing down. And so nobody could figure out how it happened. It was just a little baby, a brand new baby. And so all the other children, Krishna did it. We saw it. He did it with his own foot. He kicked the wheel and it all collapsed. And so he says nobody could believe it. And then when Trinavarta came just after that, and so when the Trinavarta demon grabbed a hold of Krishna and took him away, there's nothing anybody could do. He was a whirlwind demon. These are all conjured up by Kamsa. And so, of course, you know what happens with Trinavarta. He goes spinning around, he makes a whirlwind, and he goes high into the sky with Krishna on his shoulder. Krishna's got a hold of his neck. And so you've seen pictures of it. And so he grabs a hold of Trinavarta by the neck and starts squeezing, and he pops his eyes out. And so he comes crashing down. And Krishna's just playing on top of the body. And so the gopis and the cowherd men, they're looking at this gigantic body lying. And Putana was huge, 12 kilometers long. So, and the body was preserved. It just didn't go away. So for so many days, the body was lying there. The same with Trinavarta. And so as they were looking at this dramatic scene and wondering how did it happen, Krishna's just a baby, he's playing on top, and finally they took him away. But they thought, well, it was Trinavarta's sinful reactions. And so the sinful reactions would cause him to go down. Now, Prabhupada talked about the Indian government and what the government, what most people in India, excluding the devotees, they consider Krishna a billboy. Billboy, bill means black, Negro. And Prabhupada was given a class in Africa, and so in that class, they had deities of Krishna, black marble. And so they're all very happy that we worship a god who's black, because they're all black. Anybody from Africa here? Any rate. And so, and he says, well, they're not black like you people. Krishna's black, but he's not that kind of black. He's beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful than Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, and then as he was given his class, after everybody left, they walked out, and there were all these empty wallets on the floor. So they were all stealing each other's wallets and sort of taking the money and leaving the wallets. So that's the kind of people who were born in Africa. You know, this is a place where all the slaves went, and the Africans at that time were low class. I'll cover that. So when they had that first, there's two meanings of karma and karma yoga. One is working for family, society, friends. The other is doing devotional service. So Prabhupada is always warning us not to be involved in karma. But karma yoga means working. If you can work, definitely work, and money is required. That ultimately in Tehran, Dayananda was working in a job. He was getting $1,000 a month. And before that, he was only getting $400 a month in America. So in any case, Prabhupada said, yes, you must work. You have children. You have to raise your family. But do it in a way that it's simple and very easy to handle. If you work a job, okay, but you're thinking of Krishna while you're working. You could be chanting on the way to and from. The first devotees in New York, they gave interviews to Hayagriva and Brahmananda. And so they said, yes, we work, but we chant on the subway. We chant while we're working, if possible. And so we do work, but it's all money donated to Prabhupada. The Prabhupada was very careful about the money that was brought in because it was tight. So Brahmananda said he gave his life savings, $5,000, to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, thank you very much, and put it away. And he was expecting something in return. That's Brahmananda. And so he asked, what about one of your books? Oh, yes, you can have one of the books. You have to pay for it. And so she said, what? I just gave you $5,000. So that's something different. That's separate. The books are separate. You must pay for the books. The books have to be paid. And so Brahmananda got the first Krishna book printed in Japan. So Dhanipai, the Japanese printing press. First, a story about, I get off on a little bit tangent, sorry. But it's not to talk about Janmashtami or anything without Prabhupada Katha. In any case, Prabhupada is there with two devotees in Japan negotiating for the printing of the first books. So Brahmananda had one book printed, a Krishna book with a silver cover with Prabhupada in the back. So that came at Rath Yatra Festival in San Francisco. And there was a box of books that was given just as the limousine pulled in, just as he was getting on the plane to come to San Francisco Rath Yatra. Brahmananda took that box and opened it up and was reading, looking at the first book. And so that's the first book printed. Some guy sitting next to him, Indian gentleman, well, how much is the book? He gave $10, so he gave him a book. And so Prabhupada's so pleased that, okay, the first books have come, and ultimately you've sold the first book, that's books distribution, wonderful. So then when he goes to Nippon Printing, and then it's one of the biggest businesses in Japan. And so they're sitting there at the negotiation table, and Prabhupada was just speaking and talking to all the, he wouldn't talk any business the first day. So he was checking out their ability to see what kind of devotion they have. And they have bowed very reverently. The Japanese, Prabhupada was very pleased with the Japanese. On the street, they're very reverent. They bow from the waist, and they're very, take their shoes off when they go in the house. Everything is Vedic. So it comes from the Buddhist philosophy. So second day, first, after they all walked out, one junior executive stayed. And so he asked the junior executive, what's your position and what do you want? What's your goal in life? So there's a whole bunch of the cards. Everybody, the top executive, they all put their card in front of Prabhupada. And so he piled them all up in one pile, all these cards. There was several. And so he took his card from the bottom and put it on the top. You want to be chief. You want to be president. Yes. He says, well, better if you're chief in your service to Krishna, then you'll be so much more benedicted. And then the next day, then negotiations started. And so Prabhupada wanted to pay $1.25 for a book. And generally it would be around $5. And so Prabhupada was insisting, well, we can't pay any more than $1.25. And then he asked Tumal, better you negotiate. I can't talk anymore. So Tumal, I don't know if it was clued in before, but then he says, well, we can't pay really any more than 75 cents for a book. He says, oh, no, we can't do that. And Prabhupada says, well, we can negotiate. Okay, I'm a negotiator and a mediator. We'll pay $1.15 or $1.25. So he says, okay, they settled it for $1.25 on a book. Then he gave $5,000 worth of credit. So that was unheard of. And so that's how book distribution started, because Prabhupada was able to hypnotize these people, and because they're already pious, so because of that they began the first installation of Prabhupada's books. So $5,000 worth, and they supplied all that on credit. Now again, this roadshow idea, that every second, now Prabhupada talked like that, that in every universe, and there are millions and millions of universes, so in every universe there's a Janmashtami. In every universe, the whole roadshow goes a place from place to place. So everything that's taking place in Krishna book, whatever we've read. And when the whole story of Krishna book was read in front of the devotees, when they were all falling asleep, Prabhupada was really intent, because he's living that whole Leela, because he's so in touch with Krishna. On one occasion in Los Angeles, I sit in the back of the room with my back on the wall, so I wouldn't fall asleep, and try to sit straight to keep from falling asleep. But I looked around in the audience, all the devotees were sound asleep. They're nodding out, they were gone. The whole classroom was stocked like that with people who were like, you know, weren't listening, weren't hearing anything. And so I looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked back at me and just gives you the nod. Now I'm gonna switch over. Prabhupada and Janmashtami is the same, practically. And then I'll get into one story a little bit, and then I've got time to tell the story. So in 1970, there was a big controversy that happened amongst some of our senior men, our senior sannyasis. These men were brand new sannyasis, and they were worshipped and given silver platters to eat off of. They were really high-energy people. Brahmananda was one of the leaders. So in any case, they had this homespun philosophy, and it became, and even Garga Muni still, today, I asked him, you still believe Krishna is God? I mean, no, it's Krishna's God, Krishna's God. But do you believe Prabhupada is God? He says, yes. He says, for us, that we didn't know Krishna, we know Prabhupada, and Prabhupada for us is God. And even the first initiation ceremony, before, he says, what he explained what initiation would be. So then he said, you have to worship me as God. And so, wow. So now they're about to get initiated, and they got to worship Prabhupada as God. So they went to Kirtananda and asked his opinion. He was in a hospital or in a sane asylum. And so they asked him, what do you think? I mean, we're worshiping Prabhupada already in divine way because he's the representative of God. So maybe there's more to the story. Why don't you ask him? So Garga Muni, no, it wasn't Garga Muni, it was Hayagriva and Umapati, Howard and Willie. And so they went to Prabhupada. This is before the initiation took place. Srila Prabhupada, he just announced to everybody that we have to worship you as God. Then no. God-like, maybe, but I'm not God. God is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And so you worship him. But you worship the spiritual master in a similar fashion. He's a servant of a servant of a servant of Krishna. So he's worshiped. And so he explained the whole system. So ultimately, it relieved them because it got around it. Ultimately, you got to worship Prabhupada as God. Oh, my God. And so this didn't stop. And so then Brahmananda barred Prabhupada from going to this festival in New Vrindavan, Janmashtami. And so Prabhupada was furious. You're not inviting me to come to the festival? I said, I'm in prison. You put me in prison like Vasudev. And so how Vasudev got out of the prison cell to go to Nanda Baba's quarters and to embrace him and have an exchange like that, it doesn't say in Krishna book. But ultimately they were in lock and key because all the locks opened up and he transferred the girl, baby, Durga got transferred to, and then of course, as Durga went out of the hands. So in any case, so Prabhupada was furious, and then ultimately this whole thing started with a turmoil within the society. It happened at that time in 1970. And the exchange happened. Ultimately, it went on for a while, and ultimately, it came out of here. It came right from this place. It came from Mayapur. He knew where it all originated from, and he knew the whole story, because Chutananda was here in the beginning. He learned Bengali, learned all the Bengali songs, and ultimately he was the first devotee here in Mayapur. And he was staying at the different mats and was associating with all Prabhupada's godbrothers. And so that's okay. But what happened is that there was an envious element within the Gaudiya Mat society. And so they wanted to make Prabhupada's mission a branch of the Gaudiya Mat. And that was their means. They wanted to go through him. He was the only devotee here. But that message got spread into America. And so it was the beginning of the Mayavadi philosophy creeping into our society. And there was a danger that Prabhupada foresaw. So he wanted to snap it immediately, nip it at the bud. Otherwise, the root would be a very drastic change in our society and would end up destroying everything. So that's why Prabhupada wanted his name put on top of everything. Founder Acharya, International Society of Krishna Consciousness, Founder Acharya. If they didn't do that, he got really upset because somebody could come along later and claim, like his son tried to do that. His son tried to claim the whole society as being his property. And so Henry Prabhupada was clairvoyant. He understood the future and he understood what you were thinking. I'm going to tell a few stories. I get sidetracked. I'm sorry, but I'm get a couple stories going at once here. So I was told, I was a brand new devotee, and I was told Prabhupada knew ESP, extrasensory perception. It means telecommunication. So I was, in my mind, I was saying, Prabhupada was standing right near me. I said, Srila Prabhupada, by mind, I was just in my mind, what is going on? I mean, in this society, I mean, I thought I joined a religious organization, but here there's so much backbiting, there's a lot of corruption, there's just so much criticism going on here. And amongst the artists, it's like, it's serious. And so Prabhupada just turned and looked at me and nodded his head, you'll see, by mind. And so within a week, I could understand what had happened. Everybody, there was five or six leaders, and they had their hand warmer. They had their bag but as a decoration, but their hands were just kept warm because in L.A. it gets cold. Nobody was chanting their rounds. So if anything can bring down society, the leadership has to be spotless. It has to be such a spotless organization that the leaders are exemplary. And they have to be, whether sannyas, gurus, or grihasthas, it doesn't matter. They have to be like Krishna's infallible. So we also have to be, as devotees and representatives of Srila Prabhupada, infallible, because the whole world is fallible. It's based on material technology and sense gratification. And so that infallibility is like something that has to carry on. And so soon enough, it was obvious that our whole society was faltering because of the leadership qualities that were not being exemplified. And then there were four sannyasis who split. Prabhupada threw them out. It happened on different occasions. One devotee asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, only because of this contamination that spreads around. It was in Vrindavan. It was here. And to nip it, Prabhupada was always furious when this happened. So this is Prabhupada's secretary and Sanskrit scholar. He asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I like your blessing that you can show me where I can find a bona fide spiritual master. Now to tell Prabhupada, and Prabhupada laughed about this for days, and he heard on tape that Prabhupada, he asked me where he can find a bona fide spiritual master. Well, I told him he can go straight to hell because he's not going to, for millions of lifetimes, he won't find a spiritual master. Now that's the only time that happened. And then ultimately it got rescinded because he was always asking, how's this devotee's welfare? What's he doing? In case of the four sannyasis, it was all on Jamasami that this thing happened. And so then ultimately they were reinstated, came back, and they were opening temples, and so it all worked out fine. When Krishna comes, like other incarnations, Lord Nrsingadev comes, and he didn't come because he wanted to kill Hiranyakashipu. He came to protect Prahlad from the tortures. And so then, of course, the killing took place. And so Krishna comes and killing all the demons. It was very important because ultimately this still goes on. There's so much demoniac forces that was attacking our society. And Prabhupada knew exactly how to do it. I mean, it was such a wonderful way that Prabhupada worked, and everything he did was so exemplary. And especially on Jamasthami, if you go through the files, the 776 hits, you find that Prabhupada is talking about Jamasthami, and then he goes right into the philosophy almost every time, because he's talking to brand new people, mostly. And so, another incident that took place, I'm going to speak a little about my experience with Prabhupada. So, one devotee told me this story, that he was looking through the keyhole in Prabhupada's room in Los Angeles. And the first thing he sees is Prabhupada as a made out of diamonds and crystal, and there was a light coming on. He was effulgent, self-effulgence. I saw it a few times, and so his eyes were like diamonds and sparkling and light. Example, it was just emanating. He backed off. He didn't want to disturb that, so he came back later and looked again. He was just checking to see if Prabhupada was okay. And so he looked again, and he saw Prabhupada rolling around on the floor by himself. He was rolling on the floor. Anybody heard this story? I told it before, maybe. And so anyway, he's rolling on the floor, and the servant asked Prabhupada later, "Srila Prabhupada, I didn't want to disturb you, but I saw you rolling on the floor. Is there anything wrong?" "No, I was just wrestling with Balaram." Now, Prabhupada wrestles with Balaram. He got a garland from Krishna, that Kadamba flower garland, and he gets invited by Lord Shiva to come to Bhuvaneshwar because Lord Shiva is talking to Prabhupada, saying, "Well, you go all over the world. Why don't you come to Bhuvaneshwar and see me? You know, I'm there. You know, it just doesn't take much." And so that's what he did. He went and saw Lord Shiva. And but there's so many exchanges like that one time, and we had the doll studio working, where it's a studio, we're making dioramas, Los Angeles. And so at that time, Prabhupada was being asked, he was looking at everything. And so he looked at the dioramas very quickly. He came through the tool room, and I was finishing the tool room, made it look really pukka, because I was a carpenter before, and so I had the tools with a line around it, and pristine kind of presentation. So you knew when a tool was missing. Prabhupada spent all his time in the tool room looking at the tools, and the diorama didn't really mean so much. He wanted one diorama come out a day. And so finally Rameshwar asked Prabhupada to give him the same instruction like he did for the 17 volumes in 17 weeks. Set a deadline, and then we'll get these dioramas, otherwise it's never going to happen. And so there was a big sign we had, Mayapur 76, or what's the use of the whole endeavor, because dioramas weren't happening. And so Prabhupada saw one diorama of Prabhupada at Radhadamodar, the first early murti of Prabhupada. His head is down, he's writing. So we turned a motor on inside and the head raised up. And so Prabhupada saw that, he just smiled, and there's a big picture, smiling with a big tooth missing. And so Prabhupada, when he came to the diorama of the change in bodies, which I was working on, I was offered this body, this change in body display with small sit-up. And he says that we'd like to give you this for your room. And he summed up the philosophy in two words: my room. In other words, he had temples, he had ashrams, he had everything. He had the wealth of Tirla, I mean, Tata and Birla together. So it was all predicted at his birth. that ultimately he would have all this blessing. And it was done in, no, it was done in Vrindavan by one devotee there. I forget his name. Pranav Das Gupta. And so he just presented Prabhupada's statistics, and he said, this man will definitely be a world figure, and will have unlimited amounts of money. And then the same thing happened. Bhavananda asked a psychic here, and is this man, I can't even predict his future. It's so unbelievable. He's a very important person, and he will open up one of the first 108 temples, and that happened. But he will have the wealth of great personalities like Tata and Birla. So, and then Prabhupada came to the, after he said, my room, then we were asking questions about how, what does Lord Brahma look like? And the artists were asking questions all the time for the paintings. But we had to ask questions too, because we were making dioramas. So we were making Das Avatar. So what does Lord Brahma look like? Well, he's got a beard. You give him a beard, because he's around 52. He's having his breakfast, you know, he's having his lunch now, so don't disturb him. He says, if you want to know more about him, ask him. As if we had access to Lord Brahma. He had access. So he's saying, why do I have to deal with the constable when I can talk to the prime minister? So he had access to Krishna dedicating so much time to Prabhupada, telling him every word. And so Prabhupada was asked like that by one reporter, where do you get your information from? Does it come from Krishna directly? Or where? Where does it come from? And he Prabhupada says, yes, it comes directly. It says, I'm told what to write, and I write it, and that's how all this happens. And so this took place, an interview. And then the interviewer was asking, well, then somebody, I think Rameshwar spoke up, said, no, he means it's like, it's sort of like that. And that the words come, and ultimately he takes the words sort of indirectly. But in any case, it wasn't indirect. It was directly. And Prabhupada says, yes, direct. He says, the words are coming to me directly, and this is how these books are written. These books are nonstop devotional books because Krishna is directing me to, and not one word should change. And so that whole thing happened about the changing. He didn't want any pictures changed out of his books. He didn't want any words changed. Not even a comma should change. Ultimately, everything should be given intact, especially these are ecstasies. This comes from Krishna directly. So how can you change words that Krishna is giving? And so this became the standard, and ultimately it should be kept the standard. If you read Prabhupada's first books, the first three volumes, I have a couple. And so those first volumes are just beautifully written. And so it pours out. If you read those books, the English is bad in some places, but ultimately the information that comes across is laden with nectar. It's just so dripping with this, you know, Prabhupada's nectar. So by the time, my time's running out, so Krishna at the battlefield, 125 years old, and he still looks like he's 20, 24. So Krishna is always youthful and it will never age, ever. So I'm going to tell the story again because most people here didn't hear it. Prabhupada's talking about Indian mentality and what they're like when they go to America. So the first thing, you line up in Delhi, and I think Calcutta also, I didn't see here, but the American embassy is full of Sikhs mainly trying to get to America. And so they don't know a lot of English generally when they come. So they know three words. So I'm going to tell the story again. They know yes, no, and very good. So this one Indian gentleman was being stopped by a policeman in America. And so there was a car that was stolen that had the same markings as their car. So he says, did you steal his car? He said, all he knew was yes. And so then it says, the cop says, are you going to return it? He knew no. He says, you're going to go to jail? Very good. So that ends my class. Any questions? Any criticisms? Yeah, go ahead. Give them that mic working. I hope it works. Doesn't work. Okay, so you can tell somebody the question and you can repeat it. I cannot hear. Somebody can repeat it. Repeat it. Yeah, there are demons in the spiritual world. And anybody believe that?
No.
Well, you read Bhagavatam Rita, and you get the answer. Because ultimately, Kamsa's there. He's killed, and he's revived, and he's killed, and he's revived. And this is the same roadshow that goes on around the universe, all the universes, all over the creation, is created the same way. And what's Krishna going to do with his time up there? I mean, and Prabhupada was asked so many questions about the spiritual world. What's it like? You know, what are there? I said, what happens if you pass stool there? And so Prabhupada says, well, wait. And he asked, Hari Sari asked that. They will wait until you get there. You'll find out. So ultimately, all these things are going on in the spiritual world. And there was a devotee, Guru Kripa, who collected so much money and built a Vrindavan temple. And so Prabhupada says, well, Krishna's building you a house in the spiritual world. And so I asked Guru Kripa, that was Guru Kripa's house. I asked Guru Das. He says, if he's got a house there, you must have a house nearby. He says, well, I'm choosing who I live next to. Everybody get that? So he didn't want to live next to Guru Kripa in the spiritual world. But I think there's a room for everybody in the spiritual world. And if you're just following the regular principles, chanting your rounds, observe Janmashtami, take the feast tonight, you go back home, back to Godhead. It's unbelievable that we can make it back home just by chanting, dancing, and feasting. But that's the program. It says, Prabhupada said, they criticize us. We have so much money, and all we do is dance and chant and sing and take wonderful prasadam. He says, well, that's our business. That's what we do. Any other questions? Yeah. Huh? I don't follow. Do it again. Simplify it. Yeah.
What extra special he has possessed that no one in this universe that possesses? No one has that. Whatever Krishna is possessing, that is special. No one possesses.
If we have our whole life dedicated to Krishna, you're asking like that? If we dedicate our whole life to Krishna, what's the result? What does Krishna possess that's special? Krishna possesses everything. Special, he's the most opulent, the most beautiful, the most renounced. He has all the qualifications of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he comes here, he hides all that. And nobody knew, right up to the battlefield, only very few, a handful of Prabhupada said, knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he hides it. And ultimately, the way he left was, devotees don't talk about it so much, but he ascended and ultimately go back home, back to the spiritual world. But he takes us all with him. And so basically, if we follow the program that Prabhupada has given us, we go back home, back to Godhead also, same way. Oh, now you can say it.
Each and every one has four stages of life. This is teenage, babies and youths and oldest. But Krishna, we have never seen Krishna in old age. Any picture we have seen, we will never see a picture of Krishna in old age.
Well, he's 125 years old in the battlefield, and he's got great grandchildren, and so he doesn't age more than 20, 24. So that's it. It doesn't stop. That's it. Like the Kumaras, they stay very young. They don't want to grow up. There's a song about that. I never grow up, I'll never grow up. And so this is the way the Kumaras are. And Krishna doesn't want to show any age. In fact, devotees are kind of pickled, they're preserved. So if you stay and become a devotee, like I'm 76, and I feel like I've got a 20-year-old body. And so it's like if you stay young in the movement, and the twins over there, these guys are like, you know, my age also. And they're like children. Beautiful, innocent, beautiful people. So that's available for everybody. You also, if you're chanting, following the program, you go back home, back to Godhead. Not in the same body. You can't do that. You got to change body. So, you make it. Any other question? No question. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gopamandi. My time's up. Yeah.